Welcome back, episode 16, Grapes and Gorak.
16, is that right?
Yeah, because...
I'm just going to believe you. It sounds like a lot.
It's got to be 16.
Okay.
It's got to be 16.
Chris Johnson just retired. Big news. Breaking news. Wow. Actually, nobody cares, actually.
That's huge.
I feel like when you don't get picked up by a team for like two straight years, you're sort of retired by default.
Well, it's only been like a calendar year. Remember,
he got cut by
the Cardinals to make room for Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, so you didn't get picked up for one whole season, basically. And then no one picked you up till what is it? Week 8 or 9, and now you're like, oh yeah, I retired.
You might as well do it in the offseason. At least you can like have a little press conference and more people might give a shit.
I wonder if he did it for
2000.
I feel like he did it because the Titans are on Monday Night Football.
Ooh.
He was like, oh yeah, they'll talk about me on Monday night.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was
show
sweet.
Lots of highlights. Ooh.
Anyways, right, enough about Chris
Johnson. Right now they're showing the Patriots, Tom Brady.
Taking it to the Packers.
Packers defense. Oof. Loved it. Loved it. Packers now, what, 3-4-1?
3-4-1. If they would have lost that 49er game, I'm telling you. Mike McCarthy's fired.
Oh, man. He's fired either way.
You mean by the end of the season?
Or yeah. I don't want them to fire him. He's been so good for the Vikings lately.
Yeah, he's managed to not win barely anything.
Doesn't he have GM title or like?
Four? No.
No.
No. They just gave that. What's his face? Who was Ted Thompson? Always had that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he left, and I think something Mark Murphy or something like that.
Never heard of him.
Took over, started shaking things up, you know, got Jimmy Graham.
Ooh.
Who's just trash. But, all right, you know. Let's get back to why we're here. You know, we're talking about the Vikings. Another big win.
Yes.
Well, I guess not another because the Saints was in there, but.
Still.
What is that? Win. 3 out of 4? Cardinals, Jets, yes. Saints, loss, and then.
And yeah, so 3 of the last 4. 24-9. 24-9, and it was another dominant victory. Like you know, it was one of those games after the first drive. You're like, oh, this is how the game's gonna go.
It's definitely one of those games where you weren't nervous at all. I was a little annoyed when Cook fumbled that ball on the pitch. It was like, come on, like, can we put this game away? But the way our defense is playing, it's one of those games where it's like, are they ever gonna score anything? Because they can't. Like
that was just field goal or punt, and even the drives where they would end up getting field goals, it wasn't like they put together a drive.
Yeah.
It was, they got 14 yards after getting one or two on the first two drives.
It wasn't impressive. Do you remember like a big play for them?
No.
Yeah, like I can't even think of like, oh yeah, they had that one big play.
Did Kerryon Johnson get a little swing pass? No.
He did nothing. Galladay had like a couple 15-yard catches. Marvin Jones had a couple...
15-yard catches,
10-yard
catches.
It was like Stafford looked like he just started playing football or Golden Tate
Golden Tate, you know, that could be it. Or, you know, we had 10 sacks.
Well, I know, but there's no one ever open. Like, it's like he's just standing there. Or there's multiple times where he just threw the ball away or just threw it into the ground. Because, like, we didn't even blitz that much from what I read. It was literally like just sit back.
From what it looked like, it didn't look like we blitzed that much either. It was always four guys rushing.
Just a dominant pass rush. We literally, I feel like, dominated at every level. Like, no one could get open, and no one could block. So.
Yeah. Poor Lions. I mean.
I feel like we always beat up on Stafford. Like, he just gets the shit kicked out of him. We don't always beat him, but we always beat him up.
Yeah, I saw somewhere it was, he's played a 17th. Times or something. It was the sixth time where we've had six or more sacks against him.
Really?
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like you said, we always beat up on Stafford.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually come garbage time, he'll bring him back into the game or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or it's just something. It does seem like Golden Tate was sort of someone he could just kind of get the ball out to quick, and Golden Tate could make some people miss.
Yeah.
And that announcer kept trying to, like, shoehorn Theo Riddick into that role. Well, Theo Riddick will be the Golden Tate. It's like, I'm not sure it's that easy.
We've seen Theo Riddick play and Golden Tate play together. And
one is better than the other.
Clearly better.
Yeah, come on.
And Theo Riddick plays running back. You can't stick him in the slot and call him Golden Tate.
Yeah, that's what the announcers seemed like he just kept trying to do. Like, oh, don't worry, they'll cover that up. Because it was funny, like, one of the announcers kept wanting to get on the Lions for trading Golden Tate. and kind of like, you know, what kind of message does that send to the fans? You know, you're going for the playoffs, your first, which I didn't know this, their first division win since 1993.
Yeah.
That's fucking embarrassing.
Bad.
That is.
Well, I think Chris Spielman was the one who was talking about Theo Riddick a lot.
He was the one that kept defending the Lions, too.
And he was on the Lions.
Well, that's probably why. You hired Matt Patricia and you brought in, I don't know, whatever dipshit GM they have. Right. You got to let them run the show how they want. You can't second guess them. It's like when he said something about when my wife tells me to watch the kids, like she can't judge how I do it. It's like, you can still have an opinion on, like, if it was smart to trade Golden Tate or not. I think it was actually smart to trade him because I don't think they're very good.
No, and you're getting that third round comp pick a year early.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a third round.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on third round comps.
Why not, Darren?
Because apparently, if the fucking Cardinals, who did, they cut Sam Bradford, cost us a third round comp.
Yeah. That's
that's sucks. Bullshit. That's, I didn't know that could happen.
I didn't either. I thought through if Bradford got cut, we would still get a third one for Keenum.
I think we do.
But we couldn't get two of them. I didn't think you could get 2 3rd round comp picks.
So we better get some fucking picks.
I feel like we're gonna get a.
We should still get something good for Keenum. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we were gonna get a third and maybe two. I don't know if it was 2/3 or two. Like a third.
I thought it was a third and a fourth. Yeah. So I think we got screwed out of a fourth, which still sucks.
Everyone's reporting that we got screwed out of a third.
Well, then I believe everyone else and fuck Sam Bradford and fuck the Cardinals.
I knew like playing time and like performance had a little bit to do with it. But why? I mean, in theory, couldn't you have offered them like a fifth for a practice squad guy just to keep them?
No, I don't think that's how that works.
Come on. What would hurt? How would that hurt?
Well, money-wise, I mean, they save $10 million.
No, because no one's going to claim them.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to have to eat that contract.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah. I guess that's a little probably some sort of weird collusion thing.
Still.
But it's like, dude, Bradford, you just suck that bad. You couldn't just be a backup.
Well, it's not really. I mean, was he really that? I mean, yeah, Josh Rosen puts up better numbers than Bradford does.
Bradford did play really bad. And it saved them. I think they gained a 6th-round pick by doing it.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Because that canceled out whoever they lost, you know, whatever the formula was for that.
Oh.
So, like, actually, he leaves their free agency formula. So, I don't know. The whole thing's a bunch of crap. All I know is I thought we had, like, at least the maximum, I think, is 4 picks you can get. And I'm pretty sure we had that. We might still have that. I don't know, because
I didn't think so. I mean, we lost some decent players.
Yeah. I mean, we lost Keenum. We lost Teddy. We lost
yeah, we should still get a third round comp for like Teddy and Keenum. And
pretty sure we got something because Tom Johnson left.
Yeah, I know.
But man, that had to go away too then. I don't know. All I know is we better at least have a couple good picks. Keenum, don't fuck up too bad.
No, well, he won't get cut. No. He won't get cut.
Well, he's the undisputed starter. You don't cut that.
No, and they just lost Chad Kelly because he's a thief.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was their only hope, too, of like even replacing Keenum with Chad Kelly because he's a thief.
Well, oh, so we were talking about Christian Hackenberg the other week. Well, he got caught off the Bengals practice squad. Doesn't matter, though. They brought Connor Cook in. So.
Oh, yeah. Did you see EJ Manuel?
No.
He was like, I just don't understand how Nathan Peterman has a job, and I don't. Like, how is this possible? He's like, I know I've had some bad games, but I've never thrown 4 picks in, like, I don't know what Peterman's stats are.
Peterman's stats, he has just as many touchdowns to the opposing team as he does to his team. 3 touchdowns,
that
3 pick
really
sixes.
That is really fucking hard to do.
3 pick sixes.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was, like, on, like, a snap story or something that EJ Manuel had. Like, how am I not in the league? This seems weird to me.
Well, I mean, I believe it. Mm-hmm. Why is Colin Kaepernick not in the league? We won't get into that, though. I mean, well, we should.
Because he hates America.
And this is a good time to bring that up. It is election time. So we can bring up politics, I guess.
Let's not.
No, definitely not.
Back
to the Vikings. How we were.
You want to do our 3 Teddies and 3 Troys?
Yeah, 3 Teddies.
One of my Troys, actually, because I can't find a lot this week. Troy Williamson's, for people that don't know.
Can we not do this yet? We can't go.
I have to because I already said it. It's because we lost a 3rd round comp to fucking.
Oh. All right. Well,
that was one of mine because I can't find many. So,
well,
anyways.
We might as well just start with the bad ones.
Let's start with the bad ones.
Mine is special teams blocking.
Wait, before you get into that, would you take Sam Bradford back as a backup for veteran minimum?
Absolutely.
I would too. If Kirk Cousins went down, do you think Trevor Siemian could do anything? Because he looked awful in the preseason.
Oh, yeah. If Kirk goes down, I'm calling Sam.
I know we have like close to zero cap space, but I would.
Who else? If your quarterback goes down, what's more important?
Oh, yeah, you could just cut somebody. Yeah. But, yeah. So just wondering. I think give Kyle Slaughter a chance, maybe? I don't know. Oh, man. Keenum had a bad preseason, too, so Siemian, maybe he's not complete trash, but I have like a soft spot in my heart for Sam Bradford. I feel like, yes, he's made like way too much money for being so mediocre, but I feel like if he just had all those injuries and all the bad situations, like he could have been something.
And, you know, if our offensive line wasn't so bad, he wouldn't have to check down all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't get Sam Bradford, we go 5-11, not 8-8.
Yeah, which doesn't really help you, but he definitely, like, when I watched him, I was like, oh, this guy's a pretty damn good quarterback.
Well,
like,
actually, really
he got drafted by the Rams, who sucked, and he got, like, what, he tore his ACL twice and also had, like, shoulder problems.
Yes.
Finally gets to the Eagles and has a pretty damn good season, and they draft Carson Wentz. Then he comes to our team, has a decent season, but he has this whole offensive line get hurt. Then he has the Saints game where he just destroys them.
And he's the starter. We're like, all right.
He's our guy. Here we go. And all of a sudden he has some weird knee issue, and now his career is like basically
non-contact knee issue.
And then he goes to the Cardinals, who are awful. But he did play really bad.
Yeah.
It is a bad offensive line and a bad team in general, but he didn't make the most of his opportunity, and maybe he's just done for, but... I take him back as a backup.
I would take him back as a starter if Kirk Cousins got hurt.
Yeah. I would like to see Kyle Slaughter, though. Dude's cool.
He's number one, 6'5".
He's got a nice bandana, usually.
Wears a glove. I'm a fan of the glove.
Yeah, you know.
Can't beat the glove. Tom Brady wears a glove. I feel like there's a
correlation. He's good.
A correlation there.
Yeah. It's not Tom Brady's skills, it's the glove.
No, Tom Brady's a system quarterback. And he's 41 years old.
All right, so your first one for bad was special teams blocking.
I feel like everyone every week always somehow gets close. Whether it was...
Oh, you mean like punt blocking.
Punt blocking, field goal blocking.
Oh, okay. Definitely on that punt. What the hell was that? That dude came right through. And yeah, you're right. We had one blocked, and we've had multiple, like...
Every week, it always scares me.
Well, you get the announcer like, oh, I almost got it. Like,
well, it put me in front of a microphone during a game. That's what I'm going to say. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was just rewatching the game. And yeah, the one, I don't know when it was, but I think it's the one where Sheryl's actually had a decent return. It was almost blocked. My one of my bad ones is also just falling for that fake punt. Oh, come on. Come on, Prefer. Zimmer looked fucking pissed. Oh, yeah. Did you see him? And Prefer's standing directly next to him, and Zimmer just rips his headset off and just starts screaming at him. Because it's like, they're down at that point, two scores. They're in kind of the middle of the field where it's like...
You know, something safe going on. Like, yeah. yo, just like watch it. Don't turn your back and fucking dip.
Two guys on that side both just ran with the gunner. Yeah. And it's like, who cares about a return? Who cares about blocking it? Just don't let them do anything weird there.
You've got Sheryl's back there. He's going to know either let it bounce to the end zone or he's going to fair catch it.
I feel like Zimmer literally said to Prefer, just like protect against like some fake shit, and they didn't do it right, and he was pissed. Because like he immediately just starts screaming at Prefer. So special teams has been shaky the whole season.
I feel like Prefer is coaching for his job after the bye.
Yeah. Bailey had a solid game. I thought Sheryl's had the one nice return before half, which sort of saved Zimmer from having to make the decision of like, do I push for a field goal or do I just kneel into halftime like I did in the Saints game? Sheryl's brought it to like the 50, I think. And then we had like a couple plays and all of a sudden we were like basically in field goal range. So, but yeah, besides that, kick returns have been trash. Punt blocking's been bad. Punter played really good though. Weil had two inside the five. I think Sheryl's down to both.
Yep, Matt Weil played pretty well.
Yeah, he's been better. I feel like he got off to a
shaky start. He has played better.
And if you take out the extra point Dan Bailey missed... He's been pretty good,
you know, the last two games. The weird thing is we've got Dan Bailey. I know he's been missing some kicks lately, but I still put my head down and look at my phone when...
I'm oddly confident when he's out there, weird. Which is funny because he has shanked an extra point and missed like a... The Jets game, I give him a pass for. That shit was windy as hell. But like the Saints extra point miss is a little bizarre.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, he missed an extra point inside and we're playing inside at the bank again. And I just put my head down. I was like, oh, it's Dan Bailey.
Don't care. He's going to get this. He's got
it. Dan Carlson or whatever. You know, I'm probably
going. Dan Carlson missed a field goal.
Good for him. Wide right.
Wide right. Tough break. They're rebuilding. They got a 10-year plan in Oakland, though, and he's a part of it.
He's got to be a part of it.
He'll only be like 31 by the time they're finally, you know, turning that ship around.
Oh, don't act like John Gruden's going to take 10 years to turn it around.
You're right. He'll leave after four. You're packing him. See you, boys. Okay, so I throw it back to you because I did falling for the fake punt.
Oh.
So I need another Troy Williamson from your squad.
You know, it's one of those weeks where it
just I have one like more. Do you not have one?
No, it's hard to do it when we win and
just seem like when we win, most our team plays well. I can't actually name a specific player. I did think Cousins had one of his poorest games, and I still again go back to the offense not putting a game away. Because you know who put the game away? Was Danielle Hunter when he picked up that fumble and ran it back.
True.
The offense did not put that game away.
I've got one. And it's not a player or anything, it's just a single play. The Aldrick Robinson bomb, dropping that right in the hands. I'm just gonna.
That was a hell of a pass too by Cousins.
Yeah,
really nice pass. I like Aldrick.
I like Aldrick too, yeah. But since I don't have anything to, anything else to contribute, that one just
you're nitpicking because Aldrick, you know, he's your fourth stringer. He had a really nice third and long.
I was just gonna say he just had that.
He's been he had a nice slant. He's been really good, but I'll say about Cousins like. Forcing it to Thielen a little too much. Like, the interception, what the hell? That was a really bad throw. And then a couple times on third down, I felt like his eyes went directly to Thielen, who they doubled, and then he was late to find the open guy.
Rudolph on that one play.
The announcer kept saying it, like, oh, he had Rudolph wide open. And he went like, directly to Thielen.
I don't think anyone on TV saw it. I didn't see it.
No, they never actually showed it. They were
like,
yeah.
He had Rudolph. Like that. Uh-huh. Rudolph is pissed right now.
There was a few times where I was like, oh, he might. There was a couple where Dalvin Cook leaked out of the backfield and Cousins just like launched it deep. I think one of them was he threw it to Thielen and Thielen ended up getting a holding penalty on the DB. Or illegal hands to the face, actually, he got him for.
Yeah.
But Cook was wide open in the flat. And then I know there was just multiple things I just thought Cousins kind of was a little slow to see. Like a third down where Thielen was doing a crossing route and he just didn't throw it to him. He's wide open. And then he finally throws it to him. Well, by that time, the corners have came up and tackled him. So
is that a thing that comes up with Diggs being out? Is Cousins just trying to make something happen at that point?
I think part of it is like...
Or is Diggs that big of a part of our offense where... You know,
I think Diggs makes a huge difference because, you know, like Patrick Peterson followed Diggs. Tre'Davious White followed Diggs because Thielen plays so much slot. So, like, I bet you it's a lot more easy. I don't know.
A lot more easy.
Sure. To double team Thielen when you don't have to worry about Diggs. Like,
true.
To bring like a safety down or something, or maybe a linebacker and a corner together. So, I kind of really like our receiving core though. So, but Diggs is like a step above all of them. Besides Thielen. Thielen and Diggs are awesome. But like, I thought Treadwell played well. He had two catches that were both pretty nice. And then he drew a penalty on like a deep ball. Aldrick Robinson, besides the drop, played really well.
And that's kind of why I'm going to bring it back to Diggs being followed by all the good corners. That's why he doesn't put up the numbers that Thielen does. Like, he's being followed. If he wasn't being followed, there's no reason Diggs wouldn't be in the conversation for top five, top ten receiver.
I think it's just really the roles that they're playing. Like the reason they follow Diggs is because they know where Diggs is going to be. He's going to be on the outside.
And last year, Diggs he's going to take the top off. Nobody lets Diggs take the top off defense. Uh-huh.
And like last year, Shermer played Diggs in the slot a lot more. This year, like he doesn't play much. Like it's almost all Thielen.
True.
And it's just you just get to rack up catches underneath there, like. You run, you find the soft spot between the linebackers, and you just hit him for 5 yards. Diggs, it's got to be longer plays because he's on the outside. So
comeback routes, and by that time the ball's already out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So. I want to see the numbers, but I feel like Cousins gets the ball out probably five fastest
quarterbacks. I would think it's out quick.
And I noticed think you brought it up last week or the week before about Cousins batting the football when he does a quick pass. I finally picked up on that this game. I was like, God.
He does it a lot, which is funny because it's like, dude, it makes your release even slower.
Yeah.
But it seems like he only does it when he knows he has time to do it. It's like he's anticipating, like, oh, I need to wait a beat to throw this.
Yeah,
but it's like, you can't do that because, like, the D linemen are like, oh, he's batting the ball. Hands up. So, that was weird. But, we'll get to people we liked. Where were we just on? Oh, just Cousins in there. Oh, offense, they just don't put games away. What's the deal with that?
I have no idea.
It looked like they were just about to.
We get so conservative.
Yeah, which maybe that's smart because, like, I don't think the Detroit was scoring a fucking touchdown if that game was 10 hours long.
No, and it's just 17-6. It's one of those things, like, I don't. Cousins is forcing the ball to Thielen. One more bad decision could go the other way.
Yeah,
and just, all of a sudden they get the 2-point conversion or whatever. It's a three-point ball game.
I think Zimmer in general likes to, like, all right, we're up by 2 scores. Play smart. Let the defense handle it. The Lions will implode on their own soon, and they did. And I feel like Zimmer's like conservative as a coach, but I do like that. I feel like he's got more aggressive. Like the very first drive, he went for it on fourth down.
Yep, I do like that.
Like offensively, I feel like not like more like just going for it. Like going for it. Once we get a lead, though, he's like, all right, we got this. Like let's just like rein everything back in and like.
I like that Zimmer's going for it a lot more this year on fourth down. And I think that has a lot to do with. Bring DeFilippo in from Philadelphia.
Absolutely, yeah. And the NFL in general has, like, I think, caught on to, like, actually going for it makes a lot of sense. But I think DeFilippo has...
He's like, this is why we did it in Philadelphia. Yeah. Like, this is the looks that
he can,
we
like, explain it to him, like, in the room. Like, hey, like, this is why you would do that. This is, like, here's the perfect play I could draw up. Like, because...
This is how we've been running it all the time.
Yeah.
Show them this. They're going to give us that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what was the score at halftime? Was it 17-6? I think it was.
I think it was 17-6.
So the offense didn't score a single point in the second half.
I don't think that
bugs me. And I know
we had
17.
The first drive.
We scored a touchdown.
And that was with... Didn't we get a Dan Bailey field goal right before half?
Right before half. Because Sherrills ran the thing back and we had a couple passes. And so it was 17-6. And then we had the Daniel Hunter touchdown. And I thought maybe that one drive we were kind of rolling and then the pitch to Cook... He drops it and it kind of like changes things. That was around midfield. And I felt like that was kind of where we were going to put it away. It's just, I don't think there's been a game this year where the offense has came out and put the game away.
We haven't. And, you know, the Cook fumble probably changed Zimmer's mind on being aggressive.
He's like, screw this.
Yeah, we're not doing that. I've seen a forced football to Thielen this half, which went the other way. And now I've seen that. I'm done.
We have got to be, like, leading the league in just stupid backwards. I mean, I know that wasn't a backwards pass, but it was, like, it was a different type of pitch. It wasn't just the normal, like, underhand pitch. He did, like, a little, like, shovel pass flip.
Yep.
And, I don't know, like, that and then the two fucking backwards passes we've had this year that
run. A couple people text me, annoying. What, after that, and I was like, surprise, surprise, a backward pitch / pass.
Yeah.
Ended up in that result. Like, I'm not surprised.
Zimmer's stop gotta go. Doing Take that. All that shit out of the playbook. It looked like it might have worked, though, if he'd have caught it.
Oh, like, it definitely was going to work. Yes, it's on Cook because it hit him in the shoulder pads. Yeah. But the pitch should have been more in front of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's how the play is designed.
I'd say
designed.
It's like 70% Cook's fault, 30% Cousins' fault. Like, your number one job is don't drop that fucking ball.
60-40. Oh, okay. 60-40. Yeah,
this guy, you know. 60-40. Cook apologist over here.
Hey. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is Dalvin Cook a bust? I mean, it seems like everyone thinks Dalvin Cook's a bust.
No, fuck them. All right, so that's all we got for the Troy Williamsons of the week.
Another Troy Williamson. This stupid Ron Rivera Pepsi commercial.
Ron Rivera getting commercials. God. What NFL coach gets commercials?
Riverboat Ron.
Like, what? Not even a good coach. He's decent.
Nick Hammers brought up a great point. Do they even allow aluminum Pepsi cans in the stadium?
Absolutely not.
No. I've never seen an aluminum
Pepsi
can.
Wait, actually, there are cans in the...
But it's not a Pepsi can. For everyone, no, you gotta get a fountain drink.
Nah. If you're in the club section, they got refrigerators with Pepsi cans.
Yeah, what? There's not a club section for every level. All the peasants have to drink fountain pop.
Oh, well, you know, in my section where I buy tickets to.
Sorry, I prefer phone pop anyway.
I actually do too. I do too. As long as they've got the right syrup to whatever, like the
syrup to carbonated water.
Yeah, when you go to push that fucking thing and like you're getting a Pepsi and all of a sudden it comes out like clear white, you're just like, fucking bums.
Well,
whoever's working at this establishment should be fired.
One machine I was at, if you didn't press it just right, like perfectly center, it would just dispense syrup. It was disgusting.
What's happening here? All right, let's go to the teddies, the teddy bees.
The teddies.
Should I go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, you can go first. I don't think I'm going to say mine in any particular order.
Yeah, I got no particular order. Brian O'Neill taking Rashad Hill's job.
Brian O'Neill was going to take it. Yep.
He
earned it.
Oh, he absolutely earned it. Not that he had like some amazing game. He did have another penalty. He seems to get one penalty a game.
That's okay.
But he had... I don't know if he gave up any sacks. I don't really care what he did in the game. I just like that our second round pick, who everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy that we just drafted? Because I have no clue who this clown is.
I have no idea. I wouldn't include clown, but I had no idea who he was.
Everyone, unless you were like a draft guru, it was like, oh, so that's the lineman we're getting? Because it sounds like he can't play this year.
Sounds like he's a project.
Sounds like it's 3 years down the road.
Yeah, why are we planning 3 years down the road when Kirk Cousins
is
going to
be winning now? We're drafting fourth string corners and backup linemen. We should have traded all of our picks to get up to the top of the draft. So I took Rashad Hill's job, and I'm excited for the future with him. I think he's gonna be on our team for the next 10 years. You know?
Yeah, and he looks like a cornerstone.
Yeah,
like,
I think he's a future left tackle, probably.
That's sounds like why we drafted him to develop him into a left tackle. But at the same time, if you can find another serviceable left tackle via free agency or the draft, like Brian O'Neill might be so good at right tackle, you like Lane Johnson. In Philadelphia,
yeah,
you may
true.
Not want to put him at
what I could see happening is you end up flipping O'Neal and Reef, and like on the later stages of Reef's career, he
or
moves to right.
Or maybe even this offseason.
This offseason. Because I just think O'Neal's a little quicker, a little like usually.
He's so athletic. Yeah. I like how quick he is. He's got a really good first step, be it in the passing game, and he's got a really good burst coming off the line in the run game.
I was listening to PA, and I think it was Courtney Cronin was on there, and she was talking about like you could see some trick plays now because he was like, I mean, first off, he's super athletic. I mean, I know in the preseason, I think we ran
a couple plays
where Brian O'Neill was like involved as like a pass catcher because he was like a former tight end. So I don't know, maybe we'll see something with Brian O'Neill using his athletic ability to catch a pass or two, kind of like who's the Patriots guy that caught all those Vrabel.
Yep.
Yeah.
The linebacker.
Then
now
make
the
him
Titans
a make him coach. A catch eligible player or whatever,
yeah,
and then
bring in Rashad Hill as the
sixth
as
the
lineman.
Sixth lineman. Make him eligible on the end, and you run a trick play. So I don't know. I just we lost Hughes, but he looked legit.
Yeah, he was playing a lot before he got hurt. So I don't know. He was clearly better than Mackenzie Alexander. That should have been one of my Troy Williamsons. Mack Alexander is not impressive. I do not like him.
I thought he had one bad play. Not like
maybe
I,
that's
I
the, maybe it's
the one where he didn't sink back far enough and threw the ball right over his head.
Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah.
But come on.
There was nobody in front of you. I don't care.
Okay, that's... But I think
and
he's
again, those
really...
things stick into my... He had the sack.
He's
the
really
game,
good
though.
At disguising his blitz and timing it well. Like... I think he probably is just he is a little shaky in coverage, but like just as a nickel, how can he be bad? Like if he's so bad, why aren't they throwing at him more? Like why are they not moving the ball down the field? How is anyone on our defense like yesterday bad?
Again, it's probably just because he has that one bad play a game, probably like Sandejo used to.
Yeah. And where it so sticks in your mind and you're like, damn it, of course it's him with the yellow shoes. You know, sticking out like a
single white sleeve on the defense. I know who you are.
Yeah. I do think he's probably never going to develop into like, I mean, he was a second round pick. You're hoping he develops into like a starter, but I do think as like a nickel, he'll be around. But Hughes, I think, will be better. O'Neal looks good. So it's good to see that. I think we hit on both our, it's early, but it sure looks like we hit on both our picks.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially since it didn't even sound coming from Zimmer and Spielman that Brian O'Neal was going to be a factor this
year. Yeah. I don't think he would have played if it wasn't for Reef getting hurt. Like, until he got in the lineup, and then it was like, oh, wait, like, yeah, he's maybe he's not as big as he needs to be, or like
it wasn't even. It was way before Reef got hurt in the preseason. Like you could tell.
Yeah.
Wait, did Reef get hurt in the preseason? Is that why? Somebody got hurt in the preseason. That's why O'Neal started playing with the first team. But as soon as O'Neal started playing with the first team in the preseason, it was just a matter of time.
He just didn't look like TJ Clemmings. He looked like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. So, I don't know. Looks. That was my first one, Brian O'Neal.
That was my first one, Brian O'Neal.
Was it?
And again, no order. Tom Johnson.
Yeah, it's my second one too. Tom Johnson. That dude killed it.
Three tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks.
And it wasn't like he got some cleanup sacks. Like, oh, he was just the guy that the guy, you know, like a lot of, sometimes you get some sacks where like, you know, Dino Hunter gets the pressure and Stafford runs away and all of a sudden there's Tom Johnson waiting for him. No, Tom Johnson was like causing shit.
Yeah, he benefited from Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter being on the same line as him. It was
well that third and, like that when we get the lead and we get to take, I know Joseph's a beast, but you take Joseph out the field and it's Griffin,
Richardson, Johnson,
Hunter. And Hunter, like that's four real good pass rushers.
And Danielle Hunter, like I said last week, like you got to start double teaming Hunter all the time.
Pretty sure you have to.
Well, you have to, and he is top five most double teamed in the league at like 37% of times.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's been double teamed and he still has now 10.5 sacks or 11 sacks or something insane.
What?
He's so good.
It's just a perfect example of what Zimmer wants to do. Get the lead and then he doesn't even need
smother
to
smother. Like the just other team.
He barely even needs to blitz. Like he'll bring those third down blitzes and stuff. But if you're passing a first and second down and we can bring those four guys in. And then the rotation's finally kind of coming around with the addition of Tom Johnson and Everson Griffin back. Steven Weatherly came in and had a sack. He played
very well, I thought.
And then there was, I saw Jalen Holmes out there a little bit at the end and Jaleel Johnson a little bit. But even taking those two away, just the rotation of bringing in Tom Johnson and Steven Weatherly, so you have a six-man that, you know, is basically a six-man, you know, good rotation of guys. It's really it's working.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, it's what we were missing last year, because now Tom Johnson's just a pass rush specialist, whereas last year he was a starter, and now Steven Weatherly has stepped up. So our D-line's good. Let's just hope they stay healthy. And
it makes our defense look so much better when we have that pass rush.
Yeah, like when you can drop seven into coverage. Stafford had nowhere to go with the ball. He's just standing there.
When you literally only have to be on your guy for 3 seconds... Just hold your guy for 3 seconds after the ball snapped, and knowing your boys up front are going to be around the quarterback, it makes their job so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and you have Griffin who has that bull rush, so it's like he's just pushing the tackle right back into Stafford's lap, and then you got Hunter who's just got all kinds of moves.
Like, Danielle Hunter developed an inside pass rush move. I saw it. I saw it a couple times, actually, and it's really good, and the tackles do not expect it.
With how, like, long and athletic he is, like, if they take one full step, he's just, like, immediately past them, you know?
And, you know, it almost looks like somebody, it might have been Zimmer, might have been whoever the D-line coach is, but they almost taught him, like, whichever way they're cheating you, you immediately attack.
Yeah, go the other. Yeah, yeah. Like, it does seem like that. Immediately.
I'm sure everyone's taught that, but Danielle Hunter is so smart and he's so athletic. He's so big. He's so long. Mm-hmm. He's so lean. He's got that quick twitch to just go, all right, I'm inside now. Or I'm going underneath you.
What's funny is we talked about before the podcast, like what kind of we created the podcast before, it was talking about our, like, the most valuable Vikings, and we were saying, like, forget contract, who's the player you think you could get most in a trade today? And we both said Danielle Hunter.
We both gave, like, other reasons why, like, we would pick Diggs or Cousins, yeah,
but
or
like,
Cook
for how young Smith. Hunter is for what he does, and he's a pass rusher. He's like, what is he,
23? I don't know if he turned 24 now yet, but yeah, 23, 24.
And this was before the contract. I think he's even more valuable now because he's locked into a, like, a pretty reasonable deal.
5 years?
Yeah.
$72 million? So, like, that is insane. If you had Khalil Mack at twice that at 5 years older, and he might not be a hair better.
Maybe. I don't know.
Might be.
Khalil Mack's a hell of a player, but Daniil Hunter looks ridiculous.
Daniil Hunter is the best 4-3 edge rusher in the league.
Oh, and he's so good at everything else. You see, like, multiple times he snuffed out a screen. They did the one bubble screen. I was going to
say, he drops back.
Yeah, and he's like, wait a minute, something's weird here. And just immediately goes tackles him. Like, we did that a bunch of times where there was times where Tom Johnson snuffed one out. They tried to flea flicker, and Weatherly just blows up Blount in the backfield.
And both of our all linebackers, or I don't know if it was two or three, but they both like took a seven and were like, wait a second. They both dropped.
Like, the whole offensive line didn't move. Like, wait, no, we're good here. Like, Blount just gets tackled.
Why am I not getting sideswiped by Anton right now?
Something shifty's happening. But yeah, I think today, if you ask me who's the player that would bring the most back in a trade, I think it's still Daniil Hunter.
I agree, but I'm going to go take it a step further with who's the one player on our entire team we can't lose outside of Kirk Cousins? Probably Daniil Hunter.
But you got Weatherly, who's pretty damn solid.
But
do you think it would hurt?
Daniil Hunter's more disruptive.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now. Like, that's just – everyone is so – he gets double teamed 37% of snaps.
Yeah, that's
huge.
Yeah, that makes it a fact. Yeah, I think you're right there. Cousins obviously number one because the backup is Trevor Siemian and it's your quarterback. But yeah, well, so did
or Brian O'Neill. I don't know. You can't lose either one of those guys.
He's a machine. Did you have another Teddy?
Yes, I've got one, but I've got another one that is sneaky. I don't think you'll use. So I want to hear yours.
Mine was Daniil Hunter.
Okay, well then I've got two more. I'll use my first one, Dalvin Cook.
Okay, well, that was awesome to have him back. And everyone fucking, oh, they should just sit him and because the bye is coming up. It's like, do you think they're playing him and he's fucking hurt?
Yeah.
They're only going to play him like 10 snaps. It's like, who cares? They're just like getting him back in the flow.
And it's a divisional game. So like if you can, you need all the firepower you can get.
And Diggs didn't play. So you need, like, I just was like, everyone's just like, what the hell are they doing? They should just sit him through the bye. It's like, training staff says he's fine, fucking play him.
They act like there's no difference between Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray. Can you, after that 70-yard run, could you clearly not see how explosive he was?
Well,
he, in that next-gen stats, tracked him as the fastest ball carrier in the league this year. Faster than Tyreek Hill.
Which is hilarious. Faster than Tack Cole. Why did he not test well?
I don't know.
Like, he literally...
He's got game speed.
That's the thing. Like, Ben always says, like, why do these fuckers not run the 40 in pads? Why do they not run in pads? Because he's clearly a beast game speed-wise. And like, oh, he ran in shorts and a t-shirt and didn't run as fast as someone. Like, that safety on that 70-yard run or whatever it was completely had the angle, and he just barely tripped him. He almost blew right past him.
Do you see the, or do you ever get on Twitter, I think it's from Next Gen Stats, but it shows you
the like, line, the route. Yeah, yeah, I saw that. Liked it or something, so I saw it.
Yeah, I love watching those, and especially on Cook's run. Like, I watch it like 14 times because I want to see all the defenders. It's like, wow, they all like came closing in on him and then started running after him. Nobody stood a chance.
It's just like people that act like Cook doesn't make, like, and his pass catching also, he does more in that. He didn't do much this game, but he still has almost as many yards receiving as Latavius Murray does.
Yeah, prior to his injury and even like going back last year, he was always good out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's just way more explosive. You know what I do like Murray though is inside the 10, he really has a good nose for the end zone.
True.
The one touchdown where like he almost fumbled it but clearly didn't and all that guy comes right through and he just spins him.
Yeah,
he's just great at it. And
I think it's because he's so big. They always think that, oh, he's going to try and go over me.
Absolutely.
When he's going, I'm going to go around you.
Yeah, he does like a subtle juke. He's really patient. Even when there was the Thielen touchdown, the play before where I'm like, I don't know, maybe the 7 or 8. And he's running and he's patient. And he ends up cutting it back to the left and getting to like the 2-yard line. gains easy 5 yards, where a lot of running backs would have just ran to the back of the lineman.
And the thing is, Latavius Murray being 6'3" or whatever, I think his thought is, get me to the 2, and I just have to fall forward.
Just reach over, yeah. And the year before we had Murray, who were our running backs? Peterson and, but he was hurt, right?
Asiata.
And McKinnon. And we were garbage on 3rd and short, 3rd and goal, 4th and goal, 4th and short. And we ended up, we signed Murray, and I think it was like he had like 8 touchdowns of 1 yard or something with Oakland. Ridiculous number. But it was kind of like, was that like a fluke? I think it seems like it's an actual skill he has to like
get through the trash. Yeah, I think he's a legit red zone. Yeah. I think
he's an actual goal line short yardage back.
Yep.
You know, he's better than that. He's not just that, but he's very good at that.
People signed LeGarrette Blount wanting Latavius
Murray. Yeah, and Blount maybe like a few years ago was better at it. He's pretty much trash now. But like, yeah, that's that type of guy. Like, maybe it's because he's a little taller. He can like see the linebackers back there a little better. I don't know. But
and again, it's those subtle moves. It's just, it's a little juke. It's he's not a pro. Like a, it's not a stick my foot in the ground and make you miss. It's just
I'm a little sidestep. Yeah, little spin move and the guy just completely whiffed. So I really like our 1-2 punch. You have like an explosive do it all back and Dalvin, and then you've just got like a goal line short yardage guy. Oh. And Dalvin runs super tough too. Like there's times where he's getting 1 yard and he just pushes the pile for 3-4 yards.
He's so good.
So, all the Dalvin haters are. Let's make sure he stays healthy. Obviously, we want to be healthy, but.
And then so I had Dalvin Cook. You had Danielle Hunter. My little sleeper ones that I had are linebacker replacements for Anthony Barr. Gideon and Wilson.
Yeah.
They're solid.
Do you notice Anthony Barr not being there?
No.
I don't notice it much.
Well, because
I'm not saying they're as good as Barr. No. I'm just saying
But this
defense, does it really make that big of a fucking difference?
Do you need a star outside linebacker?
Yeah.
It's because like, you have a star you have it's weird, like Eric Kendricks to me is top 10 middle linebackers in this game, arguably top 5, might
four,
just be
4-3 middle linebacker. It seems like we're kind of in a place in the NFL where like the linebacker position is missing stars. Remember like Brian Urlacher, Zach Thomas, Ray Lewis. Where did all those guys go?
London Fletcher.
Like, did
they just
who's like the best middle linebacker in football?
Luke Kuechly.
There, yeah, okay, that's a you, damn
you
got good one.
Kuechly and Wagner.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
It sucks because, Navarro Bowman would be up there if he didn't get hurt. Yeah. Patrick Willis would still be playing had he retired. Not got hurt. And so, like, there's a couple more for you. You know, that C.J. Mosley for Baltimore is really good.
But
you're talking, like, legit everyone talks about.
Yeah, like, there's no one on the level of Ray Lewis or Urlacher. Besides, Kuechly is. Kuechly's a hell of a player.
Kuechly
he's a
and
monster.
Wagner went.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Wagner, too. But it does seem like someone might say, Kendricks being top 10 or top 5 is ridiculous, but there's just not that many good, dominant 4-3 inside linebackers right now. So,
that Raekwon Smith.
Yeah, for the Bears, he looks like he buys
Roquan,
the damn
Raekwon.
Roquan Smith, I think. Yeah. He looks like he's going to be pretty good.
And that sucks. Yeah. I hate the
Sean
Bears.
Lee? Not always good. Injured? No,
always,
not good. Not
always
good.
Hurt.
I feel like the Cowboy fans claim that, like, without him, they're garbage. It's like, well, with him, you're garbage. So maybe he's not that big of a difference maker. But
I'm trying to think.
I think, like, what you're saying, though, like, I think the number one thing in this defense is you need good pass rush. Then you need good secondary. Linebackers last. So it's like, that's probably why Barr's not getting paid. They're just like, okay, if we can lose anything. Wilson stepped up, and it hasn't been like. Like, remember the year when Jasper Brinkley replaced E.J. Henderson because E.J. Henderson blew his leg out? They attacked Brinkley. They went at him because Brinkley wasn't that good.
It was so bad.
Like, that killed us in 09.
Well,
so, I don't know. Wilson's played well. Gideon's played well.
And, you know, maybe you take a linebacker in the first round or replace Anthony Barr.
Yeah, but he's paid, way less than him, so.
Yeah.
You know who else played well? Holton Hill. Holton Hill's good.
Yeah.
That guy also makes our draft class look pretty nice if it's Hughes, Holton Hill, and. Even if that's all you hit on. Brian O'Neill, Holton Hill, and he was...
Oh, and then you got Mike Boone.
Rock Thomas.
Yeah, You don't even have to draft people. You just pick them up off the
street. Trade our picks. Just use undrafted players. All right. So is that all 3 years? All three of mine?
Yeah, I had five.
You had five. Whatever. You just kept going. All kinds of good players. But it is sweet to see like our young guys step up, like an Eric Wilson, Stephen Weatherly, Holton Hill, even our safeties. Pretty sure Anthony Harris plays way more than Joe Ayoka.
Ayoka didn't play a snap yesterday, and Harris played all 70.
Are you serious?
Yep. Kearse was the only other safety to play. And he only had 16
big
snaps.
Nickel. He comes in and like when it's there.
But no, I think Harris is a free agent after this year, and that sucks because I think he's going to get a lot of interest and he's going to make some team or some fan base surprisingly happy.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those.
They're
going to
be like, what? Like Anthony or yeah, Anthony Harris. Like,
who's this really random restricted free agent next year? So we'll get to keep him. Oh. Just as long as you take
we would have to match it some, don't we?
Yeah, but you could tender him at like a second round level, and no one's going to try to take him.
Which we should probably tender him at.
I was wondering about Stephen Weatherly too.
So why don't we tender him at a first round? Do we have to pay him?
It does cost you more the higher you go. I mean, we only tendered Thielen at second round, and no one took him. Yeah. So. But he would be someone, though, if someone did, they'd be like, who the heck is Anthony Harris? Some backup for the Vikings?
We paid $20 million over 4 years for some Anthony Harris.
Mm-hmm. And then it would...
Dude didn't even play ahead of Sendejo.
Viking fans would be like, you got a pretty good guy in your hands. Sendejo was hurt again.
Yep.
So Harris basically played all defensive snaps.
No.
Ayoka's got to be like,
he did
damn.
Play all defensive snaps.
Wow. And we have Weatherly locked up for $720,000 next season. Because I was wondering about him, too, because he seems to be like a... It's been a few years he's been developing. No. He's only 24 still.
Must be his fourth year next year, then.
Yeah, he's 24.
Unbelievable. See, that's weird. Like, I feel like Weatherly's been around
so
long.
Yeah, I feel like he has been around.
26, 27.
It's a seventh-round pick. That's a pretty damn good pick.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Nice to see that. Nice to see Eric Wilson's playing well. Ben Gideon playing well. The whole defense played just fantastic. They didn't score a touchdown.
Detroit 10 sacks.
Ten sacks. Broke a record. Thielen did not break his record. I thought that was kind of getting annoying, though.
Like, yeah, I'd rather have a W.
Yeah, and like, my God, why is it... it was talked about, a lot. I feel like casual fans were like, oh, I heard Thielen's about to break the record. It's like, you know what?
Shut up. Don't talk to me about the Vikings.
Yeah, don't talk
shit.
To me. Oh, yeah, I hear that Thielen is... he's heading for some record. Oh,
I also heard he's from Detroit Lakes. Yeah, I know.
Anything else from the Detroit game? Patricia sucks.
Yeah. Why don't we take a break real quick? I have to go to the bathroom.
I got to get a White Claw. And then why don't we just jump right into the Lions for the week? Because it's bye week. We don't have to talk about anything else. And then we'll try to get this one in under a more of a reasonable amount of time.
Good deal.
All right. Oh, wait. I got to click the pause button.
Nope. Yeah. Welcome back. That was a long break. We got a couple beverages. I went to the bathroom.
Cowboys Titans has just started.
Just starting.
Horrible Titans. Game. Why would anyone want to watch this?
Phil wants to watch this game.
Oh, yeah. Well, go Titans. I think we both took them.
Well, yeah.
Is that Cooper?
Yeah.
72 and a half yards, I think we said.
72 and a half. Yeah, that was Cooper.
That's Cooper.
Right off the bat. Number 19, you're going to want to watch out for that.
What, you want to double down that he'll have 72 yards by the time we're done with the podcast? No, I don't want to do that.
Let's double down on that. I mean, he's already got 12.
Yeah, 60 away. So speaking of having the Titans, we both went a very nice 9-3.
Ooh.
We are hot.
We are very hot.
Yeah. You what's that?
And you're what, two games better?
Three games? I'm slightly better. I think I am. Let's see the overall. It's way up at the top of the one game. One game better. And it'll stay that way because we both have the Titans. So, but yeah, you got three games wrong. I got three games wrong. I think you had the ones you got wrong was the Redskins and the Rams. Okay. And we both had the Jets. And then I got the Raiders. And I also took the Bucks. So other than that, we got across the board. I hit a nice 14 parlay.
You did.
It was the over in the Chiefs Browns.
Yep, and then that was also 52.5.
52.5, and then I also the Chiefs.
At -9.
They had to win by 9. I think they won by 15 or 18 or something.
Yep.
And then I had the Steelers, who were underdogs on the road.
+3.
Yeah, which I thought, come on, I don't like the Ravens. I don't like their team. I feel like they've beat up on bad teams.
And Joe Flacco's not good at football.
Yeah, I just thought, like, okay, Ben Roethlisberger, James Conner, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, come on, they're going to beat them. So, yeah, they covered, and then I just needed the over in the Saints-Rams game, which was damn near over at halftime. I think it was, it was 59.5?
It was 59.5, and they scored 52 points.
Yeah.
It was 35-17.
And they ended up scoring 80 by the end of it. So.
Yeah, it was the easiest over-under all year.
Yeah, I was randomly at work, like, okay, what do I think is my most confident in? I was like, that game's going fucking over.
And the best thing is, like, with that, like, you know, you picked what you're most confident in is. The Steelers were an underdog, which helps the pay. Underdog on the road, which helps the payout. Like that.
Yeah. It was, yeah. I put 300 on it, and I paid out 3,800.
Woo!
So, like, yeah, that was a hell of a good bet. I went from zero to that Bovada account to, like, almost 6,000 in there, so, you know.
Hey, you've been doing mighty well. Oof.
Well, I feel like we should be with how good we're doing. We are actually, just for our overall, I mean, I'm one game better than you, but 72, 52, and six pushes.
Holy shit. That is very good.
Apparently, we're very good at this. We should just do a gambling podcast only, apparently, you know.
Yeah.
Our Viking takes are garbage, but these should bets.
Clearly just bet on every single game, every single
I actually
Sunday.
Did that one week. I picked every game. It was one of the weeks I did bad. I was like, never doing that again. Fuck that. I was like, hey, I'm like over 500 every week. I'll just pick them all.
Well, I mean, if you did on that every year, you'd be...
Yeah, I would be ahead.
Very, very well.
I just, like, there's certain games you're just like, I'm picking someone, but I don't feel nearly as good about it. So it's like, I'd rather just like make a parlay out of it and call it a day.
No.
What is the Cowboys record, by the way, while we're watching this? Because we definitely want them to lose, right?
I think they're 3-4.
Okay. So, I don't know if they're really that relevant, but go Titans.
I'd almost want the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys, but I'd rather have the Cowboys win.
Why?
Just because I think the Eagles are better, but right now I think the Cowboys might have a tiebreaker, or at least if they win, they'd be a game up on the Eagles. I think they'd be.
I want always AFC teams to beat NFC teams, 100% of the time.
Yeah, I'm not
because I'm not an idiot. You, on the other hand, are an idiot.
I'm trying to think of it as many ways as possible.
You just want to. Your whole theory is just to avoid the Eagles.
Just keep the Eagles out of the playoffs because I hate them.
Terrible.
I'd rather have the man who claps all the time than freaking Doug Peterson.
You're worried about matchups in the playoffs. I'm worried about getting to the playoffs. What we're saying.
Oh yeah, I get that. I'm not worried about today.
We'd be on the road at the Bears in the playoffs.
Oh,
did you know that?
Well, then that's what we're gonna. That's do a hell of a matchup, weeks, and we're gonna
is
do
that
what, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, fuck, 2 weeks we gotta play. They moved it to Sunday night though. I don't like that at all. I don't want to play in prime time in Soldier Field.
No, I don't either, but it worked last year when we benched Sam Bradford for Casey Keenum.
The undisputed one quick
starter
aside.
Of the Denver Broncos.
So we're what, 8 games into the season?
Nine,
whatever it is. We're halfway through the year. It is very obvious Kirk Cousins was the right choice. As far as if you take Teddy out of it, because we don't know what Teddy is yet.
Clearly the superior choice.
I'm just saying it's very clear that Keenum is not that great. And Sam Bradford's already been cut from his team. So
between
good
the
on you,
three
Spielman.
People who have played in the last 3 years or 2 years, yeah. We did.
We made the
well.
Right choice, regardless of what you paid. Because you could have Keenum right now, or you could have Bradford, who, again.
Oof.
38-yarder. Cowboys just shanked it.
Ah, they should have kept Dan Bailey.
Should have kept him. That guy's been solid, too. That's kind of funny.
That was his third miss of the year. Ha! Rennie signed him. Ha!
Trash player.
Suck it, Rennie.
All right. Let's get in the lines of the week. Again, we both, what did I say, 9-3?
9-3.
10-3 if the Titans cover. They are underdogs by 6 to the Cowboys. I mean, that's ridiculous that the Cowboys are picked by 6 in anything. But on to week 10, Vikings on a bye. What we have first one up is Panthers at the Steelers. The Steelers are a 4-point favorite. Pretty good game. Panthers have been good.
Yeah.
Real good.
They almost blew it against the Bucks.
Yeah. And then they put it away. Like it was, but.
And that's Thursday night game. 4-point favorite are the Steelers at home.
That's a fun one though. Like Norv and Cam have gotten like so much better than I thought they would.
Well, do you know, I think the key to Norv's success is not having Matt Khalil as his left tackle.
Because he's been hurt.
Yep.
Well, good news, I hear he's not coming back this week.
Oh, that's great news for Norv Turner and Cam Newton.
And the Steelers are always fun just because their offense is so explosive. Well, so
I think I'm gonna take the Panthers in that. I think the Steelers will probably win, but I think
Yeah, I
think it's 3 points.
I took the Panthers. I think the Panthers, one, have a chance to win it, and two, if the Steelers do, I do see more like 3 or maybe a 1 point game. Or,
but so. You know that 27-23 will always throw you off.
Yeah, well, that'll be a push. We'll be all right. Did you see Le'Veon Bell?
No, it won't because it's 3.5. Oh no, it's 4.
It's 4.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go. Yeah, I'll take that.
Don't worry. Le'Veon Bell tweeted "So long, Miami" or something like that.
Yep.
And he's been working out in Miami, so people think he might be showing back up.
But I saw on Twitter that there is no word from the Steelers
that they've heard anything from him. Yeah, and also I would just bench him.
See, that's the thing. Like, well, you're gonna pay him.
Yeah, you would be stuck paying him. I guess you would just use them both. But you use him as a slot receiver. Well, like,
oh.
That's, I guess, get them both on the field is the way to do it.
You know, if you use Le'Veon Bell as a slot receiver, though, you're kind of helping him to make his case as why I should be paid $15 million a year.
Yeah, but at this point, why do the Steelers care?
No, and that's
they literally what, should that's just be like, saying. All right, see ya.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, you just throw him out, like, you know what? You want to prove that, like, you're
worth $15 million. Go catch back, 60 balls out of the slot.
Come back, go games. Play slot, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Which would be, as a I mean, holdout? Think about it though, like those offensive weapons at the on the field at the same time. That's Connor insane. Bell, Juju, and Brown. Like,
has a holdout ever gone worse?
I don't think so.
Like to have usually the replacement they report come
by
in.
Week, I think usually they report by week 10 at least. I mean, Bell might not report.
I feel like Vincent Tuesday? Jackson's also went kind of poorly. Like he showed up and then he was just kind of shitty. For the Chargers. Remember back in the day?
Oh, his last year in
San Diego. And then like he went to the Bucs and was like kind of decent. But I don't know. I just feel like he lost, like his career lost momentum because he sat out so long. And
If you're not working out, like it's hard to get back to peak physical condition at the end of your prime, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for Bell to sit out and watch, like Connor's putting up better numbers than he ever did, which is insane because Bell put up ridiculous numbers. So
And see that... Also does not help Le'Veon Bell.
No. Well, now they're saying they might try to just transition tag him next year. And, like, it's, like, $8 million. Like, he's just – all these scenarios are
Now they're, like, we'll transition tag you. Nobody's going to pay you. And now you got to sit another year.
Yeah, because it's,
we're just going to do it to spite you. You thought you had leverage.
Is someone going to pay him now that he's sat an entire season? It just seems kind of crazy.
Somebody will pay him.
Just not what he wants. What did he want? I bet he'll end up.
Indianapolis will pay, or Oakland will pay him what he wants. John Gruden will pay him what he wants too.
Like, I just think he's gonna end up getting like similar to what the Steelers probably offered him.
Probably. Like, you know, and I would.
Although, so like the Colts have over $100 million to spend, so maybe they'll just be like, "Oh fuck it, like we need to spend it anyways. Let's do this."
Because we need something. We need something. But
anyways, next.
So we both take the Panthers.
Bills at Jets.
Jets.
7.5 point favorite Jets.
Jets.
I went Bills. I only see the Bills that the Vikings played. I'm in a bubble.
Dude, did you watch them play the freaking
Bills? Wait. Is it Peterman again?
More than likely. I don't care if QB17 for Buffalo Bills is playing.
That makes all the difference.
No, it doesn't.
He's got heart. He's got a spark.
I don't.
The Jets look awful too. I'm changing mine to the Jets, but 7.5. The Jets are favored by 7.5.
Good. That's how bad Buffalo is. They are atrocious.
I'll change it to the Jets though. Oh man, I will not bet on Peterman. I will not bet on Peterman. If there's even a chance that it's Peterman, I'm not betting on him. All right. Next game, Patriots at the Titans. We're watching
Patriots.
I couldn't find a line on Bovada, but I found it somewhere else. Patriots are picked by 6.
Patriots.
Is that not the lock of the week?
That's silly.
I bet the Patriots beat them by 20. Every time the Patriots play the Titans, they beat them by 20. Yeah. Wasn't there a playoff game last season where they went right down the field, Corey Davis scored, and they never scored again?
Wasn't it 45-14?
Sounds about right. Like,
it was. It was the week after they came back and beat the Chiefs. They went to New England.
And that's the reason why they got their head coach fired. Was it Mularkey?
Yeah. They're like, ooh, after you won a playoff game, like, are they going to fire him? They got their ass kicked by the Patriots. They're like, yeah, we're going to fire him.
Well, and I just remember, like, that super snowy game they played the Titans once. And it was, like, 55-6 or something. Like, they just destroyed them. That's what I'm going to put in a bet. Patriots 6, come on. That Patriots team's coming around
and
pretty
good.
And
is that in Nashville, too?
It's in Nashville. It doesn't matter. You know what? I feel like it even helps the Patriots. You know, it gets them to at least try.
Oh, you know, it's probably going to be beautiful in Nashville. It's a great city.
Josh Gordon's going to have a field day. Oh. Can't wait. Next one.
Camo sleeve.
Oh, he looked good. Lions at Bears. Great game. I mean, for us, because that's one of them's got to lose.
Yep.
6.5 point favorite are the Bears.
Give me the Lions.
I took the Lions too.
Oh, that's silly. Bears are not.
Fumble. Mariota looking like a straight fool out there. That dude sucks, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Sheesh. Cowboys got it. Winston and Mariota both, you know, like the argument. I think we've got an answer. They both suck.
Yeah. Who else was in that?
I don't know draft. If there was who was later, but those were the 1 and 2 picks, right?
Yeah. I want to see who was later.
What draft is that?
I'm looking up. Is it the 2015 draft?
2015 NFL draft. Do you think that's what it is?
Yep. Second overall in the 2015 NFL draft.
All right. So let's see. We got Winston, Mariota, Dante Fowler, who was just traded. But speaking of Dante Fowler, did you see there's a report that the Jaguars were offered Teddy Bridgewater for Dante Fowler in the offseason and declined it.
From the Jets. No way.
Yeah, it was a Jaguar report. Not like a local Jaguar. Yeah. And now what'd they end up trading Fowler to the Rams for?
Fourth and seven.
Ah, that's bad. So you're looking for another QB in that draft?
Yeah.
You got slim pickings here. That's the Amari Cooper draft. A lot of guys trade in this draft.
Is that a Nathan Peterman draft?
It's a Todd Gurley draft.
Oh.
Who'd the Vikings take that year?
I'm not.
Trey Waynes.
That's a good draft for the Vikings.
Solid draft right there. No, next quarterback was Garrett Grayson. So it was nobody after that.
So that was
Sean Mannion. Bryce Petty.
Oof.
Brett Hundley. Packer great. That dude sucks.
Oh my.
I remember we played him last
that
year.
That entire team.
Trevor Siemian. Probably the next best quarterback.
Didn't need a quarterback that year.
Yeah, because there literally wasn't one. Because Jameis Winston's terrible, and so is
And you know, that's the thing. I feel like those were the reports coming into that draft was it's Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and nobody.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you know, they're at least competent. They're not.
I don't think Winston's competent. The guy throws 4 picks a game.
You know, that's a good point.
And Mariota sucks. He's competent. I'll give him, like, he's terrible. Trey Waynes, first round. Second round, Eric Kendricks. Third round, guess.
Third round, Danielle Hunter.
Fourth round, the TJ Clemmings. Fifth round, Michael Pruitt. Second fifth round pick. Is this the greatest draft in Minnesota history?
Stephon Diggs. Holy shit.
And then it's just random idiots.
Doesn't matter. The Minnesota Vikings destroyed.
Undrafted? Anthony Harris.
We destroyed that draft.
Danielle Hunter, Diggs, Kendricks, Waynes, and Anthony Harris all in one draft. Quality draft. Anyways, back to the Lions-Bears game. I think I could see it almost sort of like a mini trap game for the Bears. They're like, oh, Detroit, that's an easy W. We're getting cocky. We got, is that an Amari Cooper touchdown?
Yeah, it is.
That's the number one receiver right there, by the way. Did they overpay? Yes. Is he trash? No, he's not trash. He's a solid player. He's a number one receiver.
Hold on. I'm busy with my foot in my mouth.
Okay, he's caught in 2 balls, 1 for a touchdown. But Detroit, I think the Bears are going to be looking ahead to playing us on Sunday night. And Detroit's going to steal a win. I feel like Detroit is so up and down. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Packers. They beat the Dolphins on the road. And then they lose.
They've got a good hype man. You know, they get them hyped for the big games.
Yeah, it's weird. And they just get their ass kicked by us. And I do worry about them against the Bear defense because the Bear defense is also pretty good like our defense. They did work out Brandon Marshall. So he'll be their new Golden Tate.
Yeah. And maybe Khalil Mack doesn't play again.
Well, that would help. So we both got Detroit. 6.5 seems like a pretty good amount for an NFC North divisional game. I think Detroit at least hang with them.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
We'll see. And also, Trubisky is not good. They keep winning, and all that asshole does is run around.
I don't see it.
So, I don't know. Well, We both have Lions. So far, we have been identical through four games. Saints at Bengals. Saints are a 4.5-point favorite. Before you pick, AJ Green got toe problems.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's out for a few weeks.
Saints.
I went Saints as well. If AJ Green was playing, I might have thought Bengals, but I kind of think that with that injury,
what is that team coming up? And they're coming off on a big win against the Rams. I don't think it's going to be a letdown for the Saints. I think they're just going to keep on rolling.
They're good.
They play. It's going to be that division is huge. It comes down to the last 3 weeks. The Saints and the Panthers play each other twice the last 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a battle. That's nasty. That's going to be a fun way.
You know what I like about, we play the Saints, and I would say if it wasn't for the Thielen fumble, that game was a totally different way, and we could easily have beaten them.
Yep.
And then we played the Rams, and half of our team didn't show up, and we still only lost by that touchdown.
And then we had a strip sack at the end, which ended our game-tying drive. So, yeah.
So, yes, they were both losses, which sucks as far as if you ever thought you were going to get a bye week, or, that really hurts that.
But, see,
if we meet them in the playoffs, we can take them.
At this point, playing them in the playoffs, if we don't get home field advantage, I'd rather play the Rams. I just don't want to go to the Superdome. I hate the Superdome. Yeah.
Well, and also if you play the Rams, it's probably going to be 40% Viking fans. Yeah. LA is every time they play a team, it's a lot of the opposing fans. Superdome would be loud. I think I'm a little more scared of the Rams team. Although that defense sucks. Did you see Marcus Peters just getting beat?
Remember when we should have taken him over Trey Waynes?
No, yeah, that's what everyone said, and all of a sudden, maybe Andy Reid was this guy's not that great. He makes some big plays, but he
bites on alive so on by every Michael single double move. He just bites on it all. He's not good. He doesn't.
Did you hear what Sean Payton said after the game?
No,
he goes. We knew they were gonna have Marcus cover Tom or Michael. He called him, and we liked that. We liked that matchup. So it's that's not good when the corner you have Shadow, their number one receiver. That they're like, oh, perfect. And the guy ended up with over 200 yards.
We prefer you shadow Thomas with Peters. We don't want Nickel or, Roby Coleman against him or whatever scrub we have, but Marcus Peters.
Yeah, so both those defenses seem terrible. The Saints defense wasn't good either. Now, Davenport getting hurt hurts them because I do think having Davenport.
When did he get hurt?
Against us.
Okay.
He
got hurt against us, I must have missed
that. I didn't see him get hurt. He must. I think it was a post game, they found out he got hurt, but yeah, I think the Saints pull it out. I do think the Saints and Rams are probably going to be the 1 and 2 seeds. I don't see the Panthers overtaking their Saints, but like you said, if they beat them. Jaguars at the Colts. Colts, 3-point favorites.
I'll take the Jags.
I'm taking the Jags too. Can you imagine preseason saying that the Jags are going to be dogs to the Colts? I know it's the Colts are at home, but
no,
the Jags have fallen.
That means that they think that the Jags and Colts are an equal team.
Yeah, well, which, do you blame them? The Jags have been just garbage.
No,
since
I don't blame
the Patriots.
I don't blame them. And that's the thing, though. They remind me of the 09 or the 2010 Vikings, where they just rolled it all out and said, all right, we were good enough last year. Let's just
down trades to upgrade your quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, we made it. We should have made it to the Super Bowl.
You want to trade us a potential starter for our eighth pass rusher? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, we got Bortles. We're good. So we both have Jags.
We just extended Blake for 3 years. We can't bring in any competition to, hurt his feelings.
Right, so we're both ripping on the Jags, but we're both taking him against the Colts.
Well, have you seen the Colts roster?
Oh my gosh, the Titans just fumbled again. What are they doing? Why are they even a football team? Who roots for them? Why would anyone root for them?
God, I have no idea. It's unbelievable.
Such a bad squad. Deion Lewis fumbled.
Wow. No wonder why Belichick let him go.
I kind of want to change my pick to the Colts. I just think the Colts offense is
But that Jaguars defense is fucking elite.
Is it? I'm going to stick with the Jags. Were they on a bye?
Yep, because they played in England 2 weeks
although
ago.
Although I think, were the Colts on a bye?
Yeah.
So they're both on a bye? I don't know. Whatever, I'll take the Jags. Next game, Falcons at the Browns. Falcons, 4.5-point favorites.
I'll take the
Falcons. Falcons, man. they were left for dead. What were they, 0-3 with all their whole team
one
injured?
1-4 at one point.
Yeah, and now they're
5-4.
Are they? No way. Are they 5-4? Let me look it up.
Or are they 4-5? It's one of the two.
I don't think they've lost since
they lost to the Steelers. Or was that the first 5 weeks?
I think that was in the beginning of the season. I feel like they're probably maybe 4-4 and had a bye.
Might be 5-4.
4-4.
4-4.
Won three straight. So they were 1-4, now they're 4-4, and now they put the Browns. I mean, for a team that had that many injuries, like, they could have folded pretty easily, and I wouldn't have blamed them.
Yep. So they've got a lot of fight, and that's good. I'll take them over the Browns.
Yeah, I will too. I'm never going to bet on Greg Williams.
Oh, absolutely.
He's
not
a piece of trash who tried to hurt Brett Favre. And he's also
who hurt Brett Favre.
Yeah, who hurt Brett Favre, paid his players to do it, got suspended from the league for a year, and now he's head coach of the Browns. The guy's an asshole.
So you're telling me that two guys who allowed pay for play are both head coaches in the league?
Sean Payton and Greg Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
That goddamn Roger Goodell.
What a phony. $40 million a year.
He's too busy going after Brady for getting too many rings, you know?
God. Oh, you deflated football. Ooh. Yeah, let's worry about using that. Illegal formations. We gotta change that. And then the Ravens go and line up Max Williams in between the guard and center.
Cheating motherfuckers. Right. Redskins. Loved seeing them getting smashed last week by the Falcons. Yep. Just a beautiful sight. I really just have a hate for the Redskins now.
Well, it's because the Redskins fans think Alex Smith is better than
Kirk
Cousins.
Exactly why. I mean, that's the only reason.
Last year it went to bother me. Now you're talking shit about my quarterback? Get the fuck out of here.
Also, you're talking up Alex Smith. Has anyone been replaced more?
He's been in the league for 12 years. 11, 12 years. Yeah,
got replaced by Colin Kaepernick, got replaced by Patrick Mahomes. Like, Andy Reid was like, I need to get better at this position because you're not good enough.
I'm a contender, and I'm going to use my first-round pick on somebody who's not going to play at all this next year.
Yeah.
Zeke.
Jeez, right to the one. Brad's going to win high week.
I hate Brad.
I hate Brad.
Does Brad listen?
No, I don't think Brad has, you know, a phone.
I don't even think Brad knows what a podcast is. No.
So the Redskins play the Bucks, and they are
taking the Bucks.
The Bucks are 2.5-point favorites
at home.
At home.
Oh yeah, I'll take that.
You're taking the Bucks.
Oh yeah,
I'm taking the Bucks too, and mostly because I hate Redskins
and because Ryan Fitzmagic.
Oh yeah, it changes everything.
Like, he's down 35-7 or 35-14.
That's when he's at his best. Garbage time.
Yeah,
get Cullen out of the four.
I think his foot went.
Oh, he stepped out of bounds. I'm excited for another Amari Cooper touchdown here.
You know, touchdowns aren't part of the bat. He can get 4-yard TDs all day. I don't care. He's going to have to get 20 of them at this rate.
I should have been like, or two touchdowns or something.
Oh, no.
So here come the big lines. We have four lines in a row that are 10 or more.
Woo.
Yeah, three of them are just 10, but this one's huge. Cardinals at the Chiefs.
This one's like 16.5, isn't it?
When I looked at it, 17-point favorites are the Chiefs.
And, you know, the weird thing is I'm going to take the Chiefs.
How high would it have to be for you to take the Cardinals?
I think it would have to reach 20.5. 21.5.
I would have to have it go to 23. I think there's 3-point touchdowns easy better than the Cardinals.
That's why I said 21.5.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. 21.5.
Because, you know, you might even have to tempt me with 24.5.
Well, the thing about the Chiefs, they don't stop. Like, they're not just gonna keep trying.
They're the 2008 Patriot or 2007 Patriots.
Yeah, like they're just not gonna stop fucking trying to.
Well,
score.
The Rams don't either.
Yeah, both those teams. I can't wait till they play each other.
Oh, that's gonna be so much fun.
We're not gonna start recording
until 7:30.
Watch that game just be trash.
Or we should record it at 5:30. So
yeah, I feel like we should record it earlier so we can watch it without having to talk.
Go get some pizzeria Lolas with 20 minutes in between.
That sounds delicious. All right, next one. Chargers at the Raiders. Chargers are a 10-point favorite over John Gruden and the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Chargers.
I love the Chargers. I feel like they have paid us off every time. They are constantly underrated.
Yep, and...
Oh, wow. Dak Prescott forced it to Cooper.
Love it.
Picked off. I love
Keep
it, too.
Keep doing it all night.
Dak, I can't wait till he's exposed. They brought him a number one receiver, and he still sucks. Tough break. Chargers. But, still only two losses, and they're to the Rams and the Chiefs. It's a good fucking team. And they cut their kicker.
Anthony Lynn is like, what did I see? He's like 16-7.
Underrated?
As a head coach.
I still don't understand him.
Like, you know, is this one of those things where talent outweighs coaching?
I don't know. That team is talented. They're doing this without Bosa, too. Like, yeah. Probably would be their best defensive player.
And they're doing it without Jason Barrett, too.
Yeah, they barely use Mike Williams, who was their first, like, a top 10 pick 2 years ago. So, I like them. They're definitely beating the Raiders. Now, 10 is a big spread, but... But my the God, Raiders, the Raiders got destroyed by some random.
Both money.
I follow football really closely. We are in a fantasy league that has 20-man rosters, and we draft like everybody. And some fucking random that I've never heard of was playing quarterback for the 49ers.
Nate Mullins, still know what his fucking name is. All I know is he wore number 4, went to the same fucking college as number 4, Brett Favre. Yeah. And he fucking played like Brett Favre and lost me fucking money.
Why would you bet on that? You literally took the freaking Niners on our bets and then you went and bet on the Raiders.
Yeah, but then, you know, some Nick Mullins is starting.
Oh, that's why you did it?
Yeah.
Because CJ Beathard is so good?
No. But, you know, some fourth string guy totally is not going to freaking do 2.5 over the Raiders.
Oh, I just, unreal. God. John Gruden, like, it's one thing to be rebuilding, but to be an embarrassment.
And then after the game, he goes and cuts Bruce Irvin. Like, they're not winning a game the rest of the fucking year. And you want free money? You bet against the Raiders all fucking year long.
I don't think they want to win. I literally think
he doesn't want to win. He's done winning. He is so fucking done winning, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I hate the man. And I was about to get on his train, too, after he traded Cooper.
You literally were like, I'm never betting on the Raiders, blah, blah, blah. And that's with fake bets. And then you bet real money on them because CJ Beathard's out. You should be ashamed of yourself. Although I didn't put. Oh no, I had him in a 3-teamer and it blew it. Yeah,
fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
All right, next game: Dolphins at the Packers. Packers are 10-point favorites.
Oh, I'm going to take the Dolphins.
I also took the Dolphins. And by the way, we have not disagreed once.
I have noticed that, which...
That's all right. Hey, that's, you know...
You know, it's going to be awesome. We're going to go 12-0 this week.
12-0. Besides that Raider pick.
Which means I'm...
Sean Gruden will fuck you.
Which means I'm still...
Wait, they jumped on the star?
Well, they didn't show that on live TV, that's for sure.
The Titans picked it off and then went and stomped on the star T.O. style.
Oh, I love that.
That is classy. Well, you
know, that's great. They brought the classic Joe Horn back. They brought back the classic T.O.,
Bringing it old school. I'm rewinding it because I got to see this.
Oh, and he did do the whole T.O. thing where he threw his arms out.
Yeah, that's... I always thought T.O. celebrations were actually pretty solid. With the popcorn, the signing the football.
You know, the popcorn might have been my favorite because he legit threw half the thing in his face mask.
Yeah. I wasn't as big a fan of the Chad Johnson ones, like putting on the Hall of Fame jacket and like...
Yeah.
And also, you know, I was watching... I don't know who it was. Some team. They did a whole choreographed fucking celebration. And it reminded me of basketball. Yeah. Where it's like where the fans cared more about the celebration. Or not the fans, but the players cared more about the celebrations than they did the actual plays. Doing the river dance. They're doing like whole on. It's like, okay, I get we're finally embracing celebrations, but let's not get too crazy with it.
Let's not bring boy bands back.
Yeah. Let's not have 27 people. Also, I really am getting annoyed of when a DB intercepts the ball. It's not, our team doesn't do it, but the Lions did it, where they do this thing where they're going like, follow me, and then they all run and go in front of the camera and take a big picture together.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck all you guys.
I don't like it. The Eagles started that last year.
Did they? That was a big thing they did.
The electric slide.
I mean, I like some of them. Some of them are good. We've had some good ones. Really yeah, good. That's good.
See, I really enjoyed that until the Eagles beat us, and I was like, fuck the Eagles and their celebrations.
Some of them are just getting old. The whole team runs on the field. And
you know what I think? I think the NFL should penalize players for excessively celebrating.
And they should, you know, ban them from the league if they kneel during the anthem. Shoot them on sight.
You're right here first.
All right. So you took the Dolphins?
Yep.
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to win that game. I think they win it by 7.
Not by 10.
The Packers aren't a good team.
You know, it's weird. The Packers being 10-point favorites at home. They're 3-4-1. And the Dolphins at 5-4, so like two games, but
well,
game and a half.
Packers
games.
Haven't lost at home. They tied once, but they've lost all their games on the road.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and they've been in those games.
They've been in all. I feel like every game. I haven't looked at their schedule.
I think Detroit handled them.
Did Detroit? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Detroit handled them pretty good, but they played the Rams and the who'd they just play? The Patriots decently. I mean, they ended up losing by two touchdowns to.
But it was closer than that until.
Yeah, well, Aaron Jones fumbled and caused all that shit. Fucking, they're talking about Marquise Scantling catches two passes and fucking Chris Collinsworth. A star is being born tonight. Are you kidding me? The guy caught two passes.
Well, and it's not even tonight. Well, I mean, I get that he was like over exaggerating, but that dude has played well.
Yeah, a star is being born.
But like the thing is he's that one guy. He's that Jordy Nelson guy where like the play breaks down and dude just knows to go deep. Yeah. So he gets a bomb.
I mean, he's huge. Yeah, they definitely needed someone. So the Cowboys did all that celebrating and the call was overturned. So that's why you don't do that. We both got Dolphins. Next is Seahawks at Rams. Rams are a 10-point favorite. And I think it's 10 points because, one, Seahawks have been playing pretty decent. And they also played the Rams really tough the first time.
You said it's at Rams?
At Rams. Rams are 10-point favorites coming off a loss.
I'm going to take the Rams.
You sound super confident.
I'm going to take the Rams.
I took the Rams as well. I think after a loss, they're going to... I think they squarely win by three touchdowns.
17?
Yeah, I got Rams. You got Rams.
Yeah. So we didn't disagree once this
Two week. More games.
Oh, there's two more. Ooh, yeah. Good.
Two more games, dude. Calm down. Cowboys at the Eagles. Couldn't find a line. Found one on a different website.
Yeah.
Eagles by 6. Cowboys are on right now. Eagles at home by 6.
Eagles at home by 6.
Eagles coming off a bye.
I'm gonna take the Eagles at home by 6.
I also took the Eagles. I think the Eagles smash them. I think the Eagles will start winning some games.
Yeah, and like, I especially they're gonna, you know, they saw the Redskins losing. That was huge for them.
Big.
And then they're probably watching this game going, Dallas doesn't look very impressive.
So Dallas never does. It's a bad team. It's a bad team.
As long as they're not having like sloppy practices during the bye week. Like,
oh yeah,
they're a team that can get their swagger back
and,
after the bye.
Yeah, they beat the Jags and then went to a bye. They're gonna run off some games. The Eagles aren't going away. The Eagles will be in the playoffs.
They'll probably be
because the Redskins are shit and the Cowboys are shit. So the Eagles will be in the playoffs. Yep. And that's how they get there is by beating up on
probably,
the Cowboys.
They'll probably get there by when they finally start playing their good quarterback, Nick Foles.
Doug Peterson's gonna step in.
Nice.
Monday Night Football. You're going to like this matchup. It is your boy.
Ooh.
Mullins.
Against the Giants.
Eli Manning. So it's Eli on the road against the 49ers. Actually, I don't even know who the starter is for the fucking 49ers. Could be Beathard. Who knows? 49ers are favored by 3 points. What do you got?
Did you say Niners were at home?
Niners at home. Niners by 3. They say they're equally terrible.
I'm going to take... you know what? I don't remember the last time Eli Manning lost a big game. We're going to take Eli Manning.
I also took Eli. So we have matched on every single pick. I think this Mullins character is due for a big loss. You don't just walk into football and just do what you did, calling up Brett Favre, all this bullshit. He's going to get beat, and Eli's going to do it. And I have bet the goddamn Giants repeatedly, because I think when you have Odell and Saquon, you should win a damn game.
And you know what? They're going to. And you know what? This Nick Mullins is going to get me my money back this week. That's right.
I'm already starting to see a three-team that involves the Patriots and the Giants. You know what? I just really don't like waiting until Monday Night Football, though, for a bet. So maybe I'll just bet that separately.
You know, maybe you can just... Well, you know, you can get a...
You can do a
three-team parlay on Monday Night Football alone. I mean, it's called a three-team, but, you know, you can take the over-under. You can take the Giants and do a little teaser action for over-under total yards for Saquon. Because you know he's going to get the over.
Always.
The over-under for him is probably like 88.5. And that's
total yards?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. The guy's easily going to have over 100 total yards.
Well, yeah, it's the best part.
Hmm. I think I'll do a three-teamer on Sunday, and if I lose, I'll try to make it up with Eli. God. All right.
I can't believe I'm betting Eli.
So we matched. We, you know, I don't know, any closing words for the podcast? We're at hour 24. Closing. Timberwolves are an embarrassment.
My Knicks suck.
The Knicks suck. Did you see Jimmy Butler waving his towel at the Warriors game?
Oh my God.
With the Warriors fans?
Unfucking
weird. It's just getting bad. They were on tonight at 9:30 though.
You have to trade Butler's him playing. Soon now.
No. Unless you get a good offer, you just keep holding on.
General Soreness back.
General Soreness. Did you see the Twitter account?
Yeah.
General Soreness. It's like that Andrew Luck account where it's like Captain Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
so
there's some sort of Japanese General Soreness.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He's not good.
Okay, all right.
He's better. That's all I'm saying.
So Vikings on a bye this week. Yep. Next week, we think we'll hit you with another podcast anyways because, you know, we don't take a week off.
No. No days off.
No days off. We'll maybe do some mid-season awards, some surprises, some, you know, who's disappointed us. Maybe go back and talk about our predictions and see how well we're doing, you know?
Yep.
I think we're doing okay, but it'll be interesting to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm intrigued to see what we had down.
I wish we would have placed some bets on, like, division winners. Hopefully we at least said who we thought the division winners are. Cause
I think we did go through divisions.
Yeah, I know we went through. I know we did over-unders for every team, but I just hope we said like who. Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. Like this team, I think will be first and stuff. Yeah. So, all right. Well, trying to make these podcasts not so long. Hour 25, a little better.
A little better. Wow, we saved like 35 minutes. That's pretty good.
That's because we don't have to preview the Vikings game. Somehow we just keep talking.
We'll figure this out where we won't bore the hell out of you guys for 2 hours. And we'll try and keep it consistent. But
I feel like a good hour would be solid. That's impossible. It's impossible.
Unless we literally just go, you know, 45 minutes with the Vikings, then we just breeze through the lines. Who you got? Boom. Don't say anything.
But there's always fun things to talk about, you know?
I know.
Like Eric Mullins. Is that his name?
No, it's Nick Mullins.
I think his name was Aaron with an E.
No, it's Nick or Nate. I don't know.
Aaron Mullins.
No, it's Nick Mullins.
Chris Mullins of the Pacers.
Ooh. Who's the other? Rick Smits. Oh, and Jalen Rose is on those teams. Reggie Miller. Mark Jackson.
All right. This podcast has gone off the rails. We have now talked about the Indiana Pacers. All right. We good? You want to tell them to follow us on everything?
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Grapes07. Him at 10th Puppy. Our podcast at Grapes and Gorak.
And, you know, Bet with Grapes.
Bet with Grapes. Follow us on Facebook. And this podcast is brought to you by MyPillow.
The best night's sleep in the whole wide world.
That's MyPillow.com.